Well, welcome back to the Mawa Dissing Show. I'm Shirley Nordrum, and today I'm visiting with Milt and Jamie Lee here in beautiful Cass Lake, Minnesota. Good morning, folks.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I wanted to visit with you about your home. You have a very unique looking home, and I guess it's a straw bale home, it's a clay home, it's just really an awesome project. So I really wanted to capture your story of, you know, how did you come to build this, and how was it built, and all those fun things about the story of your home.
I'm from here originally, and I was teaching at Ogallala Lakota College out in South Dakota, teaching English. And at one point, some old connected family land came up for sale. So we were living out in Rapid City, South Dakota, and this family land came for sale, and we just bought into it. And we both had this dream our whole lives of just doing something different.
Yeah, I think that it was like we got a phone call one night just before Christmas, I think in 2008, and Rick said, hey, there's 20 acres coming up for sale. Do you guys want in on it? And we looked at each other, and 30 seconds later, says, yeah, put us down. What should we send you? We'll send you a check right now. And so that was how we got up here. And then so we bought the land sight unseen, and when we came up here the next summer, it was like, oh my gosh, this is so beautiful. And we instantly saw where we wanted to put the house and like that. And you know, we both of us, well, I grew up in the 60s and Jamie grew up in the early 70s, and you know, we had both had read the Whole Earth catalog, you know, and that back then when it first came out, I think it might have come out in 69, somewhere in that neighborhood. And in there was all this alternative building possibilities, you know, and the one that grabbed both of us, and completely separately, because we weren't, and we've only been married for 27 years, so
only,
yeah, so that was, yeah, exactly, so that was way before, but we both were completely smitten by the idea of a straw bale house, you know, and the straw bale construction possibilities and like that, and so we had sort of dreamt about that.
But we had only worked on one, just for one day. We were a helper up in Hot Springs, South Dakota, on a project. But we had no clue what we were doing.
Yeah. And we didn't, you know, that particular one was a very, I don't know how to say it, it was, they spent a lot of money building that place, and we didn't spend that kind of money at all on ours.
Okay.
You know, like all of the windows in our house are recycled windows. We got them at the ReStore, you know. And when we bought the lumber for the floors, you know, those 2x8s, they were raw. And we bought them, and then Kenny Gerke milled them for us and turned them into tongue and groove, you know, planks for the floors. And so that was, I mean, it was, everything was like that, you know.
Okay.
But the rafters, when we bought the rafters, I said, I need rafters. I want scissors rafters, but with a 4-foot tail on them. And it's a 4-foot tail. I said, yeah, because, you know, up here, what we need to do is we need to have so that there's an overhang, like a 4-foot overhang over the walls to keep the rain and snow off of the mud. Because after you've built the walls out of straw, then you cover the whole thing with 2 to 3 inches of clay on the inside and the outside. And so that's what keeps it dry.
We wanted to build a house that would be nice to Mother Earth, you know.
Yeah.
We wanted no concrete.
Right.
It has no concrete foundation. It sits on sandbags.
Oh, okay.
So we wanted a house that could just melt back into the earth when we were done with it.
Yeah.
And even the steel roof, I mean, steel is totally recyclable.
Oh,
recyclable,
sure.
You know.
Yeah.
So that's why we have a steel roof and everything else. There's wood, there's glass, there's clay, there's straw, and that's it. You know, that's what the house is made out of.
It's not a huge house, but it's a nice size for two people. So was that hard, finding enough clay to mud this house? I mean, what's the footprint? Was it
like, well, the initial house that we built was 460 square feet.
Okay.
Originally,
which is
we thought we were just going to come for summers.
Oh, okay.
Or, you know, a seasonal house.
Right.
Right.
Then we didn't want to go home.
You were home.
We were home. I came home.
So, you know, of course, Rick and Jeff, who are Jamie's brothers, they knew everybody under the sun. They said, oh, you know, Vern, he's got a landscaping business, so we'll ask around. And sure enough, he had some clay. And so we bought the clay from him. And I think we used 12 yards of clay to do the inside and the outside for this. Just
really?
One place, yeah. Just 12 yards. That's all it took, you know. So that's, I mean, that's a good pile. That's a big pile
yeah.
of clay. And that's a lot of mudding.
So every load is a combination of, you know, like we have an old cement mixer that we also bought from Vern for like $20, and that thing's just gone all for summer after summer, you know.
Yeah.
So every load is a combination of clay, more clay than sand, but like two parts clay, one part sand, then straw, and then we put, you know, that cellulose insulation that you put in a wall, shredded paper.
Yeah.
We put that to add fiber. Sometimes we put cattails in them.
Oh, really?
Depending, cattail fuzz. Anything that's fibrous.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then on the final coat, you use wheat paste. And you would think, well, wheat paste, I mean, that's smooth. It's basically flour.
Yeah.
But that's fiber. It's actually fiber, and it's fibrous.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how you get, you can see the walls are really, really smooth. Or if you touch them, they feel like suede.
The interior. Yeah, I touched them before when I was here. I was like, this is it. Mm-hmm. You can't come in here and not touch the wall.
I know, exactly.
It's true.
And the there's several different finish coats you can put on stuff. You can even use a casing paint to paint. And I did some testing with that, but we just really liked the color of the clay.
So
the this final coat goes on very thin, like almost like putting butter on it with a trowel.
Uh-huh.
And then once the clay is all on and you've smoothed it the way you want it, then you take a plastic yogurt lid and buff it. So it sets all the little clay platelets into themselves.
Sure, yeah.
And so that's what gives it the smoothness that it has. There are some places, like if you look up above the stove there, see how rough it is?
Yep.
That's how it normally goes on.
Yeah, it's a similar process to making any kind of clay, like clay pottery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just recently learned how to make clay pottery and the buffing part, you know, so that you have a vessel that will hold water that you can cook in. There's a lot of a buffing that goes on.
The outside, it's what sheds the rain. You
know? Right.
So even if there's a huge storm, like sometimes, in fact, the worst storms we get, of course, come from the east, from the northeast, because of the weather pattern we have here where the big circle comes around and then comes down from the northeast. And so those are always the worst storms, are always from that direction. And because the roof is so high on the front, I mean, in the interior here is 11 feet, and then outside, then you've got another 4 feet of rafter before you get to the roof. So it's 15 feet up, which gives a lot of space for the rain to come whooshing in.
Right.
You know? So it still gets, they'll get wet in a big storm. But having said that, we can have a big storm one night where maybe rains 2-3 inches. And then by the next afternoon, that front wall will be completely dry. It just dries out, just whoosh.
Yeah.
The water just goes away. It's great, you know. And another thing, see, one of the reasons they went back to using clay, when we were first reading about this back in the Mother Earth News, people had started experimenting with using a cement stucco on the outside of the walls of the straw bales. And they used chicken wire, and then they would use this cement stucco because they didn't know how to get it to stick to the straw. Well, when you use clay, it just goes in. The first coat, you spray it on, then the second coat, you just shove it in, and it'll go in 2-3 inches into the straw, and then everything just sticks. I mean, it just sticks. So, but when it gets wet, we've discovered that the water only goes in maybe a quarter of an inch when it rains really hard, and then it just dries out.
So you set the straw bales
like Legos.
Yeah, they're like Legos, and they're the wide, you send them the wide way, right? Not the narrow way, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And then the roof structure went up first, so it's like a pole barn.
Okay.
So there's two different ways to do straw bale. There's infill, which we did here. So the structure went up, and the roof is held by the poles, and the bales fill in.
Okay.
And other people, a lot of other people, and we've done it now on other buildings, bale up and then let the roof sit directly on the bales.
Oh, okay.
So it's called load-bearing.
And that's also known as the Nebraska style. Because when they first rediscovered this technology, you know, they'd been building these in Nebraska since the mid-1800s. Was the first time they started making straw bale houses in Nebraska.
Because
they had straw.
Right.
You know, and so that was the, I think they started out with soddies, you know, cutting sod and stacking it up. But then they discovered that bales were better than to put mud on the outside of it, you know, so they did that. But some of those straw bale houses, which are well over 100 years old, are still just fine. they're still standing there. You know, I mean, it's a wonderful technology. Now, another thing I want to tell you about is that when they were doing things with cement and putting cement stucco out there, they did it because they wanted to make sure that the straw would stay dry. But what they actually discovered was that they sealed moisture in.
Okay.
With that. So it got sealed in, and when it got sealed in, then mold and stuff would start to grow inside the walls.
So the earthen plasters actually work better.
Yeah.
To draw the moisture out.
Draws the moisture out, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Amazing, yeah.
And it stays perfectly dry. It's great.
Well, I know that I was visiting with some folks, because you know they have the construction program over at the Tribal College.
Mm-hmm.
And someone had mentioned, as all reservations, we have a housing shortage. And someone was talking about straw bale houses, and they're like, you can't build those in Minnesota. They don't last in Minnesota. And I'm like, hey, I know some people that live in, and I didn't know you at that time, uh-huh. but I'd heard about you. And I'm like, they have a straw bale house. Maybe someone should go talk to them, because I think it's working for them.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We did, one of the first things we did was a little pump house, because, you know, and it was a rush job, like really rush job, because the winter was coming, so we wanted to keep our pump from freezing.
Right.
So boom, boom, we put this thing up, and it only sat on one layer of bags, which wasn't enough.
Okay.
So last summer we took it down. Was it last summer?
Yeah.
Last summer we took it down, and it was neat to take it down because we got to see what the straw was like.
Uh-huh.
And when we took the pump house down, we ended up, all of the straw was completely dry as it was the day we put
really?
It up. And we actually reused all of the clay and straw to build the new pump
house. We recycled the bales, we recycled the straw.
And the clay.
And put it right back, and all the all the clay.
Is the pump house the project that you did with some community members to teach them?
No, that was our studio. So that's
okay.
We've done three buildings here. No, we've done four buildings here so far.
Okay.
One of them we tore down because we thought the original pump house we tore down because we wanted a smaller building. We wanted it to be in a different space, different place a little bit, you know. But the studio, my studio, a couple years ago, 2 or 3 years ago now, I decided that it was making me crazy that I was paying $350 a month to have rent a studio space in Bemidji. And I was in a basement. I didn't like it. It was like, what? What if I took that $350 every month, just borrowed that same amount of money for, say, 2 years, I could probably have enough money to build a studio. And sure enough, we did. So that's exactly what we did.
And then the carpentry class got involved over at the college, Tribal College. So they built all of the rafters.
Okay.
And then they built the floor, because we decided to try putting the bales directly on a pre-built floor. So they built the whole box beam floor and all the rafters, and then when we were ready to construct, they came over and helped bale, and I even had a mudding, you know, putting the plaster on.
Yeah, one of the guys
Tim
is
called
a,
him, you know, he
yeah,
was
yeah, one
like
of them
master.
Was a friend of mine, and I saw him doing that over here, and I went, well, that's cool. I mean, I think it's really a beautiful thing when you can involve community, and community helps you. I mean, that's the way it should be, really, you know.
Mm-hmm. But,
so I thought that was cool. That's when I knew you guys are just the way that you thought about community, the way you thought about earth, the way you thought about things. And I'm like, it's way cool, you know.
Oh, I'm glad that we really wanted people to, we wanted them to have the experience of it, you know, because we thought it was, we love the technology ourselves. We think it's a great thing. And it just seemed like, if you're going to talk about green building and look like that, then people should know what that is, and they should
right.
experience what it is, you know. And I really wanted those guys. And they did a beautiful job. I mean, the rafters they built were just gorgeous, you know. And these were brand new, fresh carpenters. I mean, they had hardly built anything at all
yeah.
when they got there, you know.
And I heard quite a few of them thinking, like, you know, I could do this.
Yeah. Well, I know
could,
that my...
I could stack up these bales and...
My sister came out here for something. You did something with maybe Sustainable Tuesdays.
Yeah.
We did
it.
And she was all excited about it and kind of still is. We keep threatening to make a chicken coop like this.
That's yeah. a good idea. Yeah. That's a good place to start.
One of the things I like, and I'll be doing it soon, hopefully, you know, I like when people come over to learn to mud, because the bale up is kind of the easy part.
Uh-huh.
And plastering, you know, plastering is a very labor-intensive. So if you and your sister want to come over and have a little earth plaster lesson.
Oh, we'd love to. And my nephew could come help, too. I mean, he's a good worker. And it's a good thing for him to learn, you know. Maybe he might want to build a house one day. But I think that, you know, I've heard that this type of construction is a lot warmer. You know, that it holds the heat better.
Yeah, it is. Generally speaking, they've done tests. You know, the federal government's done testing on it, because they test everything to see what, and it, basically the walls end up being about R50, so that's good, you know.
And if you stop a minute and just listen, you know, we're between Highway 2 and the train track, and it's so quiet. I hear a little bit because something's open somewhere, but very quiet. It has a special quietness to it.
The other thing is that the walls breathe, which is really neat. I mean, there's a wonderful feeling being here. We look around and it makes us smile just to be in here, you know. It's really nice.
Yeah, it's really a nice place.
Yep.
So did you get any help or inspiration from Happy Dancing Turtle? Have you guys been down there? And they actually have like a commercial building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have
two. Is it the same technology or?
Yeah.
They use the really big bales.
Oh, okay.
For what they call Old Main up there.
Mm-hmm.
Or down there, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've been here, we've been there, they like us, we like them.
It's a cool place.
It's a very cool place.
Everybody should take a chance to, you know, go down there and visit. And they did some, you know, kind of unique things in there where they sculpted the clay inside. Like there's a turtle in the bathroom, you know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, there's all kinds of great stuff. One of the bathrooms is upstairs. They sculpted these wings on the windows, you know, so there's these gigantic Egyptian wings, and then they actually literally have a bathtub that's made out of clay and straw.
Really?
Yes, an entire bathtub made out of clay and straw, and then they used some sort I can't remember exactly what it is, but basically it seals it so that they can put water in it. So they have a bathtub that's, you know, they call it Cobb, which a lot of people do. That's Cobb is a term that's used for clay and straw when you mix it together. We call it mud, but, you know.
But Cobb has lots of straw in it. You can actually build a house with just Cobb.
Okay.
It's more like you would be building almost like adobe blocks.
Okay.
Out of just clay and straw, and you can stack them.
Yeah.
So there is a whole knowledge there about how to build strictly from clay. Ours, the straw inside of our walls acts as insulation. But it's actually the 2 to 3 or even 3 to 6 inches of clay that's structural, you know, that helps.
Yeah, that's the part that actually gives you the strength of the wall.
Oh, and it's so solid. You can't believe how hard that clay gets.
So I see you brought, you know, you shared this nice picture board of putting your house together, and I see the straw coming in on these trailers here. Did you get your straw locally, or you have to be really picky about the kind of straw you get?
Well, we discovered that wheat straw is a lot better than oat straw. Oat straw is too slippery and it's too light. It's not stiff enough. So the wheat straw stands up a lot better, you know, and they stack better. And
yeah, when we built the studio, and I thought maybe he had given us straw that was weedy. Was it oat straw? It was really grassy.
Mm-hmm.
And man, that was hard to put mud on. So the second batch of straw that we got to build the studio with was way more challenging than the first batch.
Okay.
So you want bales, if you can get 3-string bales or better than 2-string bales. You want it to be dry, golden, not grassy looking.
Yeah.
So there was a, and of course we didn't really know. I just noticed that it felt different then. We didn't realize till later that we'd bought the wrong kind of straw, you know.
Well, I have a horse. I've had horses. And, you know, straw, we bank our house with straw in the wintertime. And then we've used it for straw bale gardening and things like that. Mm-hmm. So we recycle it. But I've really learned that there's a lot of difference between, you know. I have a hay farmer. He's been my hay guy for the last 18 years. Man, that guy can put up some nice hay. But, you know, there's been years where there was drought and there was shortage, and he can't give me everything I need because I'm like a reoccurring customer, and he mostly just hays for his family.
Mm-hmm.
And so he'll, like, I'm having trouble, Shirley, you're going to have to find some, you know, supplement somewhere. And man, some people don't put up very good hay. you know, you go to get some straw, and like you say, it's more got more grass.
Yeah.
When I'm looking for straw, I'm looking for something that's going to, you know, hold insulation, which grass doesn't, you know.
Right.
When we do the earth plaster, the first coat, they call it a discovery coat, and it's really sloppy wet. It's like putting malted milk on your wall.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So, because the straw is, like its name, sucks in moisture, you know, it'll suck the clay in.
Yeah.
So you want that first layer of clay to key into the straw.
Right.
As deeply as you can. Because that's what's going to hold the next layer and the next layer and the next layer. So that first coat is called the discovery coat, and it's really sloppy and goes on fast and shows every little curve in the bales.
Which you go ahead and you try and fill, of course. So that's why it's, you can't say it's like 2 inches all over, because it isn't. Sometimes it's, some places it's really as deep as 5 or 6 inches, you know, particularly between the bales, you know. Like right. it'll the bales will curve on the ends and they go in, you know. So you fill that up, but then you have to put in clay there too.
Mm-hmm. And that's called the fill coat, where you're building out.
And it's just one bale thick?
Yeah. So the walls are basically 18 inches of straw, and then 4 to 6 inches of clay. And most of our walls are basically 24 inches. You know, that's the thickness of them, between 22 and 24 inches.
So you tie them, you know, the bales I can see are tied, but I'm used to stacking lots of hay, so you have certain ways that you, you know, tie it, so you get a nice big stack of hay. So they're basically, I guess it's the clay that holds them there.
Oh yeah, it is.
When they're just stacked, like one high.
Yeah.
Oh, the whole wall wobbles.
That's what I was
thinking.
You think
it's going to come right down on my head?
That's what I was worried about.
We did a little pinning with metal rods, you know, like
almost
like giant safety pins, putting one through the other to.
Is there much of that in there?
A little bit.
Not a whole lot. There's more in this first building. We'd used a lot more of that than we did anyplace else, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that we used any pins at all, or maybe just a few pins when we did the studio. And the same thing is true for the pump house. There's very few pins in that, you know. And both the pump house and the studio are load-bearing. So it's the, you know, the weight of the roof and the rafters and stuff squishes it down.
Right.
You know. So when you put that on, you basically put on guides to hold the rafters in place and stuff, you know. But as soon as it gets on there, it starts to weigh it down, then everything starts to firm up. But you want to get it mudded up, the first coat of mud on as quick as possible.
Yeah.
And then when the first coat of mud is on, the whole wall really stiffens up.
The interesting thing is trying to get them lined up. You can't have one bale that's in 4 inches and the next one goes out 8 inches, because you're trying to, so we had to build, like, we call them bale bashers, you know, like a little board on the end of a pole, and to bash the bales to get them evened out. So when you start putting your clay on, you're not, even then, where every bale comes together is a big hole. And so every gap needs to be straw stuffed.
Right.
So you don't want to have a big air hole going through
your
wall.
That's what I was thinking about, because I think I would have a really hard time stacking just one big row of straw, just because I'm used to putting up, you know, hundreds of bales for the winter, and I got my way of doing it.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Well, you could make it thicker. You could make it 2 bales thick.
Yeah, I mean, you could do it as thick as you want. Like, say, folks down at the Happy Dancing Turtle or Hunt Utility Group, HUG, they, the first building they built down there was, they used 3 foot by 3 foot by 8 foot bales. That's a huge bale.
That's a huge bale, yeah.
And our bales are 18 by 38 by 14 or 16. So, you know, they're just a standard square bale. Yeah, you know, in fact, their bales are so big that each one had to be moved by a bobcat.
And if you look at these bags, so we used, you know how when there's flooding they use sandbags?
Right.
So the foundation is 3 high and 2 deep of sandbags.
Okay.
Because we didn't want the straw to come in direct contact with the ground.
Right.
Because then it would start wicking up moisture.
Exactly.
From there. And so instead of a concrete foundation, we have 3 layers 2 deep of sandbags.
And what's in between the sandbags?
And then, see this wood? There's a little, what they call a bale rail, that rides the top of the bags and gives us a place to run electrical wire.
Oh, okay.
and puts a separation between the bags and the bales. And we've had opportunity to open up a little area to see, are the bales staying dry above the bags? Mm-hmm. You know, and they were, even had problems with our, with snowfall, building almost like a little river between the wall and the rest of the world, and it was dry.
Very good.
Yeah. So and those bags, those earth bags, are filled with clay, the same clay that we used on the walls.
Oh, okay, they're clay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In fact, our dirt guy said that probably 50,000 pounds of clay that this is sitting on. It's a lot of clay.
That's a lot of clay.
Hand-filled bags. We had a bag party, that's where.
And that was still your 12 yards of clay in your bags, too? Mm. Wow, that's... You made that clay go a long ways.
Oh, it does. It does stretch a long ways. Yeah. It really does. In fact, we've got another load out here right now that we got last summer, and we used not even a third of it last summer for doing some more mudding on the pump house, you know, and the studio. It still needs another coat or two of
And there's lots of ways to test. Like, we had to experiment a lot first. Like, all clays are different, too.
I was just going to say, not all clays are created equal.
Right, exactly. And so, if I were, you know, we just dove in. We didn't really know what we were doing. So, but what we did was we ran water tests with the clay to see how much, what's the right combination of clay and sand.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want it to stick to itself, but you don't want it to be all clay. Because if it's all clay, then it dries out and cracks.
Right.
So there's a lot of experimentation with finding out what's the right recipe. And when we got this new load of clay last summer, it had more clay than the previous load. And so I was like, okay, now what do I do? So I had to start adjusting the recipe.
Adding sand to it.
Yeah. And it unfortunately, it's a lot harder to screen because we screen most of it, especially for the outer coats. And all the sand and clay is screened through a screener to get the big rocks and, you know, get the...
Yeah.
It's like sculpting your house.
Yeah.
And I remember telling Milt early on, it's like addicting. I'm like, I gotta go make some mud. And I remember telling Milt early on, because I've done probably 95% of the earth plastering here. I told him one day, I said, you know, you're really lucky I like this.
But it is a lot.
I mean, because you wouldn't be able to pay somebody to come and do it.
No.
I think it's a special kind of person that likes to do that, but I also think that once you start working with clay, at least I do anyway, making small projects, find it calming.
Mm-hmm. It is.
I've been in some classes lately where, you know, community's learning to do this, and I happen to be in there with a friend of mine who has children that attention deficit, they're always busy doing something. That was the calmest I've ever seen those kids.
Mm-hmm.
Is when they were working with clay, and I was like, hey, instead of putting them on drugs, why don't we just put clay in all the classrooms and, you know, we've seen that for a clay break. Right.
My little bead people project, we take beads to the classrooms sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Beads are the same way. You said you can have the wildest classes, and you set trays of beads down on the tables, and they're just instantly focused, and it's so cool.
Yeah, it's a healthy way to address some of those things, but yeah, it's... I find it calming, so, you know, you probably found that gift of calmness while you built your home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's like meditation or prayer or something.
And you feel it. I mean, I feel like all the things you're talking to me about, how the clay and the straw go together, it's almost like Mother Earth working together to make your home, and then you're calmly putting it together, and I think you feel that when you come in here and sit down and visit with you. That
it's, we feel that too. That we're just, it's just such a delight to live here.
Yeah, it really is. It's great.
I was going to show you out here. You can see where sometimes where the all the bales come together and create that little space.
Mm-hmm.
The corner. We started on some of the other buildings. You can take wine bottles and tube them. Two wine bottles and turn them into a tube.
Right.
A light tube. Oh, up here too. See?
Yeah.
So the wine bottle goes all the way through to capture the sunlight.
And does it capture a full moonlight?
Well,
they'll glow a little bit.
Do they glow a little bit?
It really is dependent on what reaches them. Like, you can see that one is a little glowy. I call that my bluebird.
Just a little bit of a luminance.
Yeah, that's nice.
Really fun. Maybe it should be more widely advertised, that it's a possibility to make your home this way.
It'd be nice if more people knew about it. I mean, it's a great way to build, and it's less expensive. It doesn't cost as much. But honestly, people really do need to be aware that it takes a lot.
The idea of starting with a chicken coop, for instance,
yeah,
is perfect. Or a little garden shed.
Yep, and then hopefully somebody gets addicted.
Yeah. Or, you know, you can learn in a small way what's involved, so your eyes wide open on, oh, okay, now I'm going to go to. But, you know, there's a whole tiny house movement. People don't need as much space to live in. You know, we wouldn't have had to go this high. Could have saved myself a lot of labor by not going this high.
Right.
Although I love it. Or you can do it in sections, like start with a 12 by 12 room.
Awesome. You guys are just playing cool.
Yeah, we got degrees in coolness.
Yeah.
You know, you want to share anything else about your awesome, cool life you're living?
You know, we came here, there really wasn't anything at all. There was no water, no electricity, no nothing. And so we basically have built the whole thing up from the ground. When we put in the garden, that had been a dump. And so we started pulling stuff out of the ground. I mean, we literally pulled a bed spring that had been buried. You know, that's where our garden is. So really nicely producing garden space, you know. And it's like you say, we've done bees and gardening. We also have a second garden that's 24 commercial blueberry plants.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's...
Yeah, I like fruit. So we've put in juneberries, elderberries, chokeberries, currants, raspberries, strawberries, blueberries, apple trees.
That's about it.
The other thing we like is, since it's just Milton and I started instead of... I've always had a garden. I realized my first year after college, I started a garden, and I've never not had one since. Since we've gotten older, we don't can individual vegetables anymore.
Oh, okay.
We can soup.
Yeah.
So, like, that shelf is looking a little slim right now, but it's usually all the way from top to bottom soup. But whatever's in the garden, chicken soup, beef stew, it just goes into soups, and then we have food all winter.
Mm-hmm.
What's cool is you can make, well, nothing with cream or butter, but you can make any soup that you would normally make. We have a couple of big soup pots. You make it to the top, have it for lunch, and can the rest. But you just don't have to cook it quite as done as you would if you weren't canning it.
And how easy is that? You know? And you can eat healthy and
and have a wide variety. I mean, we have one called ginger carrot soup that we didn't care for it last year, though. So if you want any, you want to try it.
Ginger carrot soup. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, we didn't care. We didn't care for it, so. That's the only thing that's left over there, really.
Oh, and so then it's the end of the season and you're waiting for your next crop to come up, you have to eat what you didn't like so much.
Feed guests that come. And then last year was our second year with bees, and we processed 10 gallons of honey. We decided not to get bees this year because we have enough honey.
We've got so much honey left over. Yeah, but next year we'll go back to our bees again.
Such good honey, though. And we have bartered some. Like, I bartered honey for maple syrup. I'm looking for somebody who wants to barter honey for wild rice.
Well, there you go. I mean, the bartering system is amazing. Yeah. I mean, it's all about sustainable living. Thank you very much for your time. And
You're really welcome.
appreciate your lifestyle. Oh. It's beautiful.
Thanks, Shirley. Thanks for coming over.
Thanks.
This program has been funded by the Legacy Arts, Culture, and Heritage Fund of Minnesota.